I've had several people ask me already this morning how I'm doing. I'm doing well. I'm still off, but I still feel off, but I'm doing well. Thinking back, was it yesterday or so, this morning, with my second attack here on Wednesday morning, we're not sure what caused it. I ate some peanut butter, and so I'm not sure if the oil in the peanut butter is what did me. It wasn't that much, but originally they had diagnosed it as gastritis, and had I not had that second attack, we might be going for long. It might have been a much longer process, because it was at that second attack that they finally did the scans and said, hey, it isn't gastritis, you have gallstones. If we can be thankful for pain and for bad things happening, I guess that would be one reason why. So at least it's found and diagnosed, and we'll know more tomorrow as to the next steps. This morning we're going to be in Ephesians chapter 6, looking at just the first three verses of that chapter. As we continue in our series on the toolbox of important scriptures, this morning we're going to be focusing primarily on children. Before we get into that text, though, let's just bow in a word of prayer. Father, we thank you for the morning together as the church and for the time to spend in your word and the hope that we find there, the encouragement, the challenge even for daily living. We are new creations in Christ, but we still have the tendency to go towards the things of the world, to still follow the sinful self, the old self, the flesh. And we thank you for your instructions which guide us, and for your Spirit who lives within us and grants us the strength even to be able to carry out these things. Pray that as we, even this morning, that you would be encouraging our hearts, challenging us as we grow in Christ. That you would use us as well as lights amidst our respective communities and workplaces and areas of influence to share the gospel of Christ and to be a witness for him. We just thank you again for your grace towards us and for the time we have this morning. We praise your name. Amen. It's that time of the year when, all the Christmas songs are back on the radio again. I can remember in college, it was like November 1st. We had a friend in our dorm. We called him Charismatic Phil. He was a charismatic, by the way. At November 1st was his day that he had to have Christmas music on. When we heard Christmas music playing throughout the dorm, we had Christmas decorations all over the place. And as I was studying this week, the phrase "children, young, and old" kept coming back to me as I was looking at this context and began to think of the Christmas song, chestnuts roasting, so on and so forth, and the phrase "from kids to one, from 1 to 92." What Paul writes here, he says, children, obey your parents. It's not just for people under the age of 18, all right? There's an instruction here that goes much broader than that. Last week in Ephesians 5, we looked at God's instruction to husbands and wives and looked at the responsibility of each within marriage. God's responsibility for wives was twofold. If you remember, God's responsibility was for wives to show godly submission and respect. And on the flip side, God's responsibility for husbands was sacrificial love. And Paul continues some of those responsibilities within the household and how we relate to one another in Ephesians 6. Verses 1 through 3 deal specifically with children, but not just those, as I said, under the age of 18 or 21, whichever legal United States age status you want to use. Our application goes, of course, much broader than that. The selection this morning is just three verses, but I don't want us to get to write it off because it's short. Those three verses are extremely significant for us. And there's actually two commands in these three verses for children. The first command we find in verse 1 is that, children, you are to obey. That's a present, continual command there. You are to obey your parents. And the second, in verse 2, that you are to honor. That is also a command. You are to honor your parents as well. Now, these things are easily sabotaged, though, in today's culture and today's mindset. How so, though? By what? Two things stood out to me. There's more that we could compile and put together on this list, but two things for sure. Technology is one of them, and divorce is the second. Technology in and of itself is not evil. It is a tool, but a tool that can be used for good or for evil. We find, though, it has affected our children in ways I don't think that the people who were originally designing these things ever imagined. If you think back even to 100 years ago and to the relationships between fathers and sons, a lot of times sons would learn the craft of their father. They would spend years and years learning his skill, learning his trade, learning the ins and outs of what he does. And at some point, the son would surpass his father, but it was often not until the father was an old man at that point, before the son had actually mastered that. However, today, technology has created a generation of young people who are smarter many times than their parents from a knowledge standpoint alone in regards to electronics. My son, I know, is able to do things and able to understand things that I did not have an understanding of at his age. We didn't have smartphones. We didn't have, well, there were cell phones around, but they were the great big things you had to have a backpack to carry when I was his age. And so that kind of knowledge that he has now, I didn't have until I was much, much older. And so you have that, as a result, we have a group of young people now. We find a society that finds it harder to honor parents because they consider themselves smarter than their parents, smarter than their folks, and their folks they're out of date as to what's going on. Smarter, perhaps, in knowledge, but often not in wisdom, which is what we find. In fact, we were going through the parenting class here a couple of weeks ago, and Chip Ingram's son was commenting about the fact that he now has 20-somethings coming back, and they're wanting to be mentored because they've missed out on all of the wisdom as they were young, and they're realizing it now that they were smart from an electronic standpoint, from a technology standpoint, but they missed out on all of the wisdom that their parents could have afforded them. Divorce as well is a large factor. I know I talked about this last week shortly, and I mentioned it again this week, not to lay a guilt trip on anyone, but it has affected the home, and I think more than our society is willing to admit. Sadly, in many cases, children are called to honor one parent over the other, or we have in some cases where children are called to obey both parents, but both parents have different rules, different commands, and they contradict one another, and so that leaves a whole other realm of issues. Coupled with that, I was just reading something this week that the Freudian psychology has provided each generation with an excuse to blame all of its problems on its forebearers, which results in a generation then of young people who blame all their sins and all their problems on one or both parents and use that then as an excuse to continue on in even the things that they are doing, the habits and patterns that they have formed. Despite what I have just mentioned, though, God has given each child, young and old, very specific instructions in his word. And this isn't antiquated advice. What we see here in Ephesians is these are continual commands. No matter what the culture, no matter what the times, how they change, these things are to be carried out. They are responsibilities of children. And the first responsibility we find in verse 1, the children under authority are to obey their parents. They are to obey their parents. Last week we talked about the wife being submissive to her husband. For children, being submissive to your parents is carried out through acts of obedience to their parents. And the word obey, there's no extra meaning here from Greek to English. It's obey is what we see in the Greek. Obey is what it is in the English. It's pretty straightforward there. When your parents ask you to do something, you're to listen and then do what they say. Kids, you know, we like to oftentimes, I remember when I was growing up, we like to ask the why question, the why. Why do I have to obey my parents? Or, you know, something comes across. Well, why, Mom and Dad? Why do I have to do that? So let's get into that. Why should we obey our parents? The first thing is this, that God has commanded it. That's the first one. We don't necessarily like that, but that's what we find in His Word. God's Word has commanded that we obey our parents. We're taught various things as we're growing up, like how to share, to be kind, to love others. One of God's specific commands, though, is to obey parents. And this isn't just for young kids, this is for teenagers as well. And I know as teenagers, Mom and Dad's rules don't always make sense. You want to know why you in you know well my friends are able to do this and I'm not. Well, your friends are not your parents' kid. You are. God has gifted you with them, and you has gifted them with you, and you with them, and placed you under their authority, and so you are to obey them. Now, as parents, as kids get older, they may require explanation as to why you have certain rules in your home, why you're making a specific request. And our goal as parents should always be to bring our children up, and Paul actually says this in verse 4, to bring children up in the discipline and the instruction or the admiration of the Lord we find there. At times, it's good to explain those rules, to explain those convictions, so that your children understand how those things are connected with Scripture, how they're coupled up. To explain even, why you're doing these things. Is it because of something in your past? And we've been talking about this in the parenting class, that they need to understand, you know, even in your past, don't hide that from them. Because they need to understand how you came to that and what perhaps you're trying to protect them from as a result of the rules and things that you have in your home. Teens, I think you can ask for an explanation, but it needs to be done with respect for your folks and realizing that their explanation may not always satisfy you. And at times as well, it's you may not get an explanation and you simply need to obey. All right? Jesus himself, though he was God, though he was actually technically in authority over his parents, still was an example of obedience to them. It actually says in Luke chapter 2, verse 51, that then he went down with them and came to Nazareth and was obedient to them. So we actually find that even within Scripture itself. John writes in 1 John 2, 6 that we are to walk as he walked. So if we're to do that even as children, then that's to be, we are to walk in obedience to, be obedient to our parents. Now I realize at times there are situations where kids cannot obey their parents because what their parents are requesting them is against God. I hate to say that those things happen, you know, things like stealing and lying to someone. But sadly, those instances do happen. Those are not the norm. I hope they're not the norm. But there are instances in which, in those cases, there is a respectful disobedience at that point because of what the Lord requires of us. So the first reason we should obey our parents is because God has commanded. The second one is it's for your safety. When I was growing up, I had a lot of different rules, I'm sure, than a lot of the kids in this room had. When I was growing up, I grew up on a farm. We had to stay within the fenced-in portion of our yard. It wasn't a very good fence, but we knew we had to stay there. We didn't have a choice. The reason for that was protection. My mom and dad didn't want us getting out into the yard where Dad was driving the farm equipment. He may not see us, and he didn't want us to get hurt. I can remember growing up, my dad always instructed me never to get into the sow pen. For the hogs when they were about ready to have babies. The reason for that, sows get very, very defensive of their little ones. We actually had several occasions I can remember growing up when Dad didn't get him into the farrowing house in time and they had babies in the shed. And the routine was to grab a 5-gallon pail and you loaded as many as you could into a 5-gallon pail and ran for the fence. Dad at times had to hit some of them just to keep himself from getting hurt at that time. And so Dad's instructions were for my safety because he knew the danger that was there. For my own son, we have a line in our driveway, and he knows that he is not to cross that line because he doesn't know the danger. He knows he's not supposed to, but we have it because he doesn't know the danger that is beyond that. He doesn't know that the car is coming down. He doesn't know how to look both ways yet. And so if he goes beyond that line, he could end up getting badly hurt. And so for kids, your own folks' rules may be for your physical safety. They may be for your emotional and spiritual safety as well. They're not trying to suck all the fun out of your life. Like I was a kid once too. We thought that once in a while. They're trying to keep you safe. They're trying to protect you. And in their years of living, they may have experienced those dangers personally, or they may, in their wisdom, have seen the danger that is in the world and are trying to keep you from it. And the third reason why we should obey our parents is that it teaches you to obey and respect others, even God Himself. I was reading an article by John Piper this week about why parents should require obedience from their children. And he had wrote of a situation when he had boarded a plane. He writes, "I was sitting behind a mother and her son, who may have been seven years old. He was playing on his digital tablet, and the flight attendant announced that all electronic devices should be turned off before takeoff. He didn't turn it off. As the flight attendant walked by, she